Thank you, Nathan. We are family, indeed. It's nice. Welcome to the Maryland Morning Wedding Show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tom Hall on 88.1. You know, as the cliche goes, we can choose our friends, but we can't choose our families. Whatever the status of our relationships with our parents and or our children may be, most of the time it's our relationships with our siblings that are, at the very least, the longest relationships in our lives. The bond between brothers and sisters is unique, and it's those bonds that my guests this morning have explored in a new book about how those bonds are strengthened or frayed as we get older. Jeffrey Greif and Michael Woolley are on the faculty of the University of Maryland School of Social Work. Their book is called Adult Sibling Relationships, and they join me in the studio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
So, Jeff, the three sort of pillars that you talk about when you study this issue of adult sibling relationships are ambivalence, ambiguity, and affection. Tell us what those are.
Yeah, we were hoping to be able to classify these into nice, easy boxes and found out that once we got into the research, which was interviews based on more than 262 siblings talking about 704 relationships, we were left with much more of a gray picture. The affection, of course, is there in most of the relationships to some degree. But we also found that people often have a great deal of ambivalence. They have mixed feelings about how they want their siblings to do about the ups and downs of their 40 to 50 to 60 year career with their siblings. We had a sample of people 40 to 90. And the ambiguity is about sometimes we just don't understand why a brother or sister did what they did, or we feel they don't really understand us.
Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily what they did when we were 5 years old, but it's like what they did a month ago.
Yes, there can be ongoing events that sometimes shock a sibling. May say, I don't know where that came from, and I don't know what to do with it. But there's such affection there, and there's such a Norman Rockwell-esque view that we should be getting along that when we don't, we begin to feel kind of funny about it. And we, Michael and I, want to try and normalize the fact that it's okay to have ambivalent feelings about a sibling. They're often mixed in with the affection.
Sure. And Michael, there are folks who would describe their sibling, their brother or their sister, as their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But the dynamics between family members, between siblings, really are different substantially than the dynamics between people who are best friends from grammar school or high school or college or something.
Sure. As you started out talking about, we choose our friends, we choose our spouses, we can unchoose a spouse. A sibling is a relationship for our entire lives. Sometimes they were there when we were born. Sometimes they show up when we're little. But those relationships last our whole lifetime, whether they're good or bad. And to give you an example from our data, as Jeff was talking about, 8% of our respondents said they were never close with their siblings. Only 8%. So,
And by never, do you think that meant like even when they were little kids?
It does mm-hmm. seem to mean that.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that in lots of other questions and lots of other data. About 1 in 10 have very problematic relationships with their siblings. On the other end of the spectrum, 22% said they were always close. So that leaves 70% of us in the middle who are close sometimes, not close at other times. We may have gotten along as kids and now our lifestyles have changed. Our political views have changed, the way we see the world or behave has changed, our hobbies have changed, and we grow apart. But to give you a couple more numbers, about 80% say our sibling relationships are very important, but only about 2/3 of us say that we're close friends with our siblings. So that, I mean, you can see the ambivalence and the affection at the same time.
Michael Woolley, he's here in the studio with Jeffrey Greif. Their new book is called Adult Sibling Relationships on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So, Jeff, let's talk about a few of the things that, the dimensions, the parameters that affect relationships with our siblings. First is birth order. It's different being a big brother or a big sister as opposed to the little brother or the little sister. And it's different being number 5 of 10 or number 2 of 3.
Yeah, those are very hard to parse out, though, from a research perspective, because you might have a brother who's first and then followed by a number of sisters. And if you have a father or mother that holds a closer tie to a son or daughter, that can affect the balance. Other researchers have said that birth order really does matter. It's very hard to parse that out based on the age gap between the oldest child and the next child, the gender, the number of siblings, and where the parent is in his or her own development, because that will affect the attachment that the oldest has to a mother or father. Mm-hmm. So very hard to parse these out and say that, yes, older kids do better or younger children get less attention. It can vary greatly by gender.
And you also found that gender, it does impact things greatly, but also the fact of whether or not the siblings themselves are parents. In other words, if a brother is also the father of two or three kids or whatever, that's going to affect his relationship with his own siblings.
These are extremely...
That's fascinating.
It is. And these are extremely complicated relationships. Jeff and I talk a lot about the fact that much psychological research has looked at families vertically, parent to child. And what siblings do is we're looking horizontally. But the fact is the horizontal and the vertical interact. As you said, when fathers get along with their siblings, the father's children are much more likely to get along with their siblings. So we hypothesize that fathers role model these positive sibling relationships. We also found other parenting issues that are important. When parents play favorites among siblings, when they interfere in sibling relationships, those sibling relationships are more likely to be problematic in childhood, and those problems tend to continue into adulthood.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, the famous Smothers Brothers line. You know, Mom always liked you best. You know, I can't remember whether it was Tommy or Dickie that complained about that. But first of all, that does happen. There are parents who pick favorites.
Absolutely.
Right? And when it does happen, what can be the consequences of that?
Well, sometimes, of course, happens on a conscious level. Sometimes it's an unconscious level. I know of parents who were middle children themselves who favored their own middle child. And I don't think they did that consciously. I think they felt trapped as a middle child, so they naturally tried to untrap their own middle child. So that can cause reverberations through the next generation, and then those siblings have children, and they're not as close. And this can sort of play out in a number of ranges across generations. And we're hoping to help people to understand that if they can figure out a way to be close with their own siblings, it's going to help them and their next generations to have closeness between their children, between the children that they have that are siblings, which will hopefully redound to better care for them as they age.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Willie, speaking of generations, there is a generational difference in the quality and the should we say, the positiveness of relationships between siblings. If you're a Depression-era child, mm-hmm. if you're a baby, you tend to be closer to your siblings mm-hmm. than people born more recently.
Yeah, we did. We found several different generational differences, and we found generational differences by gender as well, that in older generations, sisters are more open, more communicative, more supportive of their siblings, but that seems to be changing in the younger segment of our sample. The 40-year-olds and the early 50-year-olds are more likely to communicate about difficult issues such as money and family and sex. Whereas the older siblings were not. But they did tend to be closer in other ways.
Jeff Greif, you talk about how cutoffs occur. Mm-hmm. People just become cut off from their family. Sometimes if they're one of four or five children, they're cut off from three of their sibs and maybe close to one or sometimes close to none. And that these cutoffs are often precipitated by traumatic events, a death in the family, maybe a death of a parent. Was there any, were there recurring things that happened common to a lot of different people in that regard?
Sometimes the cutoffs are based on what has been handed down from generation to generation, and those cutoffs may occur in families that have had other cutoffs in other generations. So there is this link between family history and cutoffs in some cases. But we also know of cutoffs that have occurred because of untoward events. Siblings were shocked by someone else's behavior who was their sibling, and they had no idea this was going to be happening. Something occurs, there's a battle over the estate. Somebody sleeps with somebody else who they shouldn't be sleeping with. Things are said. A parent dies and things become uncovered that have been covered over that are really a shock to the siblings. And that ends relationships that have been sort of traveling along in a pretty good path.
Yeah. You also report, and this was fascinating to me, that 40%, this seems like a lot of folks, 40% of adults have at least one step relative in their family. So Mike Woolley, I mean, the step relatives bring a whole new dimension to this, doesn't it?
They do. And it's interesting, when Jeff and I first started our conversations about doing this book, and it was Jeff had the idea about the book and came to me and talked to me. And one of the things we discovered, even though we had worked together a couple of years and played music together, we had very, very different sibling experiences in our own families. Jeff can tell you about his, but he's one of three, and they all got along really well. I'm one of six, and I have one of those complicated family genograms with multiple marriages, and I have half siblings, and those relationships are different, and our data bears that out. There are exceptions. There are half siblings and step siblings that are very, very close, but for the most part, the full siblings tend to be closer, and they tend to continue to interact well into their adulthood.
One of the things that I was happy to find in your reporting, Jeff, is that the data is showing that actually we're less jealous of our siblings as adults. That perhaps
sure.
If we had jealousy when we were younger, at a different stage in our lives, that tends to mellow out a little bit as we get older.
Yeah, we find that as we mature, we identify ourselves and find self-identity outside of the family more and more, and with our family of orientation, not our family of origin. So a family of orientation is who you're choosing to consider your family. Family of origin is what you're stuck with. And as we redefine ourselves as adults, we find that we don't compete as much with our siblings as we used to. We don't need our parents to define us. Maybe our significant other, our spouse, can help to define us.
But the competition, if there is competition when you're younger, the competition never completely goes away, does it?
In many families, it does not. In some families, it does.
Yeah. Spoken like a researcher. So, Mike Woolley, one of the things that was interesting to me is that this whole topic area is relatively new. I mean, sibling studies of siblings is only about 10 years old or something. Right? So you guys are starting stuff off new.
It's actually kind of baffling. When we first started looking in the literature, you talked about sibling order. That research is probably the longest lasting research about siblings. But it's mostly focused on childhood. There's been very little research about adult sibling relationships, and we reviewed the work that was done, but we were amazed at how little had been done and how influential these relationships can be. These are the folks we live with when we're little, and these are the folks we kind of hope will help take care of us when we become old. It behooves us in an aging society to focus on these relationships and help make these relationships strong and long-lasting. And unfortunately, the psychotherapy field has virtually ignored these relationships.
And Jeff, you talked about how the number of interviews you did for this research, but still the research is a little hard to do because our recollections of being little kids are fundamentally foggy, aren't they?
Yes, and we did not interview a lot of sibling sets. We interviewed mostly individuals because that's who tends to show up for therapy. And there's no truth in a family. I have my perspective. My siblings with whom I'm close have theirs, but they grew up with me and I grew up with them. So we're really in different families to some extent.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating stuff, and I appreciate both of you guys coming in and talking about it.
Thanks, Tom.
Jeffrey Greif and Michael Woolley, their new book is called Adult Sibling Relationships. They'll be talking about it Saturday morning at 11 o'clock at the Roland Park branch of the Enoch Pratt Library. And we've got details on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. On 88.1, it is Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Lots more ahead. Stay with us.